All right, welcome back everybody to the 14th episode of Tiger View Podcast. Another week's come and gone. I know Dawson, we kind of got off a little off schedule. Me and Dawson had some personal scheduling things kind of happen, so we weren't able to film on Sunday night like usual, but we're here on Monday evening recording. So yeah, we're back. So this episode kind of want to run down the schedule we got. So first we're going to do a little bit of College World Series talk. And then a bunch of stuff going on around Clemson football with some player stuff and recruit stuff. And then we're going to talk a little Clemson basketball right quick. And then also some stuff with the women's sports that we've got with softball and gymnastics that we've learned this past week. But yeah, that's pretty much it. So kind of diving right into it. So kind of want to talk on the College World Series that just wrapped up yesterday. LSU Tigers ended up winning and beating Coastal Carolina, but just a great College World Series overall. Kind of want to know your thoughts about it, Dawson.
Yeah, and first of all, if my background looks any different, it's because it is. I'm out of town for a little bit, so we're kind of going mobile with the podcast. But yeah, just to get into it, game one, we sat down at 8:10, bowling and watched it. I thought it was a really tough game. Obviously defensively, not a ton of hits were given up, and you got to give credit to LSU pitcher. You go 9 innings of no run ball. That is just that's elite. And I was talking to you about it, and we were just talking about, does Clemson even have anybody that could do that or would even be in the position to do that? And both of our answers were no. And sometimes when I'm watching these bigger games and these big teams play, I get in the habit of trying to put Clemson into that position and say, okay, do we have anybody that can match this firepower, match this staff? And right now, I'm just not seeing it. Maybe if we could get some guys from the portal to stick, Ryan Wideman, guys like that, if we can get those guys to fall, I would feel a lot better. But, still, as of now, we really haven't got any pitchers that move me. So until I see some movement there, I just don't see us being able to compete with teams like LSU or even that Coastal team that we saw this past weekend.
Yeah, Coastal was really in depth with pitching. You had Cameron Flukie, you had what's the guy's name? The other guy. I'm blanking right now. The guy that pitched second for them, their ace. And then LSU, talk about it, Cade Anderson. I think he only gave up 3 hits in that game, but obviously no run ball, and he pitched 130 pitches, I believe. I know it was over 120, but he pitched a bunch of pitches, but he got the job done, and we were sitting there watching it in the heart of coastal country, and we just kept coming back to Clemson. I kind of feel like that's kind of like our little habit, but it's the truth, and I'm right there with you. I really don't feel like Clemson would had if they would have made it to Omaha. I don't think we would have had anybody at all do what like LSU and Coastal did with those two teams that made it to the finals, and even the other teams that made it to Omaha in general. But yeah, just great performance by LSU and Coastal. Great season by both of them. But yeah, just another college baseball season's come and gone. But I'm ready for it next year to come back.
Yeah, and I feel like a little bit of watching these other teams, especially a team like Coastal, which is just right down the road from Clemson, it's just so much frustration that the fans feel. Here we are at Clemson with, all this history and this all these resources, and our team's not able to get to Omaha, and you've got a team like Coastal who was on the brink of winning their second national championship in nearly 10 years, and Clemson hasn't even sniffed winning one yet. Every time we make it there, the team falls apart. And frankly, we haven't been since, 2010. This is just, that's what is just so hard for many fans to wrap their head around is a team like Clemson with all of its resources and all of the talent, and the staff is just finds ways to lose and finds ways for the season to blow up every year. But we kind of just got to feel like, one of these years they're gonna find something. Things are start gonna start going right for them. They say good teams always find ways to lose. Well, bad teams find ways to or good teams find ways to win, and bad teams find ways to lose. And truthfully, down the stretch of this past year, Clemson found a lot of ways to lose games. Unlike last year in 2024, where it felt like a lot of the time we were finding ways to win.
Yeah, kind of circling back to the Coastal pitcher, I finally figured out his name. It was Jacob Morrison, and was killing me not being able to remember it, but I looked it up. Jacob Morrison, that guy pitched a heck of a World Series and a heck of a season at that. And I think he can come back, but he can also go into the draft. And after his performance in Omaha, I wouldn't doubt if he did go into the draft. But yeah, just it's crazy to think that Coastal's been to Omaha twice, and obviously they won it in 2016, but this year going back for their second time ever, they made it to the finals again. And that's just crazy to think. Two trips to Omaha, one winning, and then going back to the finals to have a chance to win it. And you just think, man, like if Coastal Carolina can do it, and not having a knock on Coastal because they're a great baseball program, but if Coastal Carolina can do it, Clemson dang sure can do it as well. So just we're right there on the brink of it. But just I think just the formula for us really is the pitching, and then also timely hitting as well. Because I mean, like we've talked about all year with Clemson baseball, it was hitting the runners on. And I mean, you even seen it with Coastal doing that in the other games in the College World Series. They were hitting with people on. They were like scoring almost each time in the first inning. That game against Louisville, before they made it to the finals, they ended up putting six runs on the board in the first inning, like getting attacking early in the games. And that's something else that you have to do in baseball games.
Yeah, I just felt like for Clemson, and obviously I don't think we want to make this whole episode about a college baseball spiel, but it coming back to it after watching what these elite teams are able to do, you just don't feel the same way that you feel about Clemson. I mean, it felt like at any point during that game, either one of those guys, for either one of those teams, any one of those players could, change the game with one swing with guys on. But in Clemson, you're just praying for guys to get walked to, push guys across. I mean, forget, doubles and home runs. We're just praying for a base hit knock. That was all we were praying for this year. So obviously, I think it's mentality has to change a lot. A lot of baseball is very a mental game. When you get to that level, everybody can play, but at some point, it's a mental thing to where you have to tell yourself to just play better. Truthfully, I mean that's literally all it is. It's not that hard. For a lot of those guys, it shouldn't be. But I think that's going to be the biggest thing. And I'm glad that Eric Bakich is big in the mental approach to the game, because you're seeing that more and more now, where players are getting mental coaches now to work on mental reps just as much as they are physical reps and game reps.
Yeah, mental part of the game's a really big part. Other than practicing and getting better, a mental part's another good majority of how you are as a baseball player. I mean, we both know, both playing baseball, but something else I do want to point out. So, game two, I wasn't really able to watch it because I was at work, but we were kind of keeping up with it. Kevin Schnall, he ended up getting thrown out of the game from the umpire, and kind of crazy enough, if you Tiger fans remember back whenever we played Tennessee in the regional. That's the same umpire that threw out Cam Cannarella in that game. And I don't know. It just kind of feels like that umpire has a little bit of a short fuse, because it really didn't take much for Kevin Schnall to give him a little bit of an issue, and he was gone. And they also threw out the first base coach, Coach Schilling, over there. But yeah, I just kind of want to know your quick thought on that, Dawson.
I mean, I think in this situation, both sides can be wrong. As far as the coach goes and Coastal is, you can't argue balls and strikes. That's just not gonna work at any level of the game. No, that's like kind of the rule of baseball is that's not, you're not gonna win that argument no matter what. And also I can look at the umpire and say that, that was probably, you have to understand the moment. You have to understand that situation to where you cannot throw a coach out in the first inning of a elimination game in the World Series. You just cannot do it. But I mean, honestly, I've seen 1,000 people go on Twitter and give big spiels about it. To be honest, it's really not my business what I think about it. But to be honest, I just like I stated, I believe it's both sides can be wrong here, kind of deal to where, if you're Coastal, you got to contain your emotions early like that. That's not the hill that you want to die on. If you're gonna get thrown out of a game, it can't be in the first inning, I can tell you that. And if you're the umpiring crew, that just is such a big moment there to make a call like that, a game-changing call. For both teams, really, to throw a head coach and an assistant coach out of the game in the first inning. I mean, to me, that's just That's a that it almost feels like the umpires are trying to make the game about themselves at that point.
Yeah, I mean, we remember last year with the whole Florida game, but I don't want to get into that again. But that's kind of something that reminds me of that. And then if Coastal would have ultimately won yesterday and they would have played tonight, those two coaches wouldn't have been able to coach the final game. And yeah, but anyway, so like I was saying, that kind of closes out the college baseball season. I'm hoping next year around this time we'll kind of be talking about an Omaha trip we were coming off of, but we'll save that for next year and hopefully that happens. But yeah, that'll pretty much do it for college baseball season. So anything else you want to add, Dawson?
I do not, but ready for next year.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so moving on to our next segment, we're kind of going to talk on some stuff around Clemson football in different areas. So first, some big news from the week. Marquise Henderson, he was released from the team from Coach Sweeney. So yeah, Dawson, what's your little insights on that?
I mean, I think anyone that probably was around the situation and knew probably they could have sensed this coming. I got wind of it probably a couple of months ago, just through talking to people and various sources that, hey, he was having trouble, but to me, it really never crossed my mind that he would reach the point of getting, dismissed from the team. But here we are, and I think I told you that like right after he got officially dismissed, like an hour later or something, he went on Instagram Live, and I mean, man, that doesn't make it any better. I mean, at all, because you've got to know that there are probably people connected with these other teams that you're going to be contacting are watching that, and regardless of how upset you are at Clemson or how upset you are at Dabo, that's just not the right move right there. Going on Instagram Live and, potentially saying anything or having any of your buddies in the background saying anything, that's just not a good move at all, for his future and for teams that are now watching him. They're gonna like college football is run with very similar to the NFL now, to where these guys are watching you do everything. They're watching every move you make because now teams are investing hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, into these players, and they want to know everything about them. And a lot of teams are going to pass up on guys for what they would classify as childish behavior. So, I just think it's not a smart idea at all to try to be very public about this. I think the way that Clemson handled it by just saying that we wish him the best, but he is dismissed from the team. If I were Marquise Henderson, I would probably flush it. I wouldn't talk about it, and I would go straight into recruiting for other teams.
Yeah, obviously he's entered the portal, but it kind of just surprised me a little bit. I know you kind of told me some stuff about it, but Dabo, he's always been selective about his recruiting. Obviously, we want players with talent, but another thing he's real big on is how you are away from football, character-wise, how you hold yourself, and just obviously there with how Marquise Henderson acted after he was dismissed from the team, it kind of didn't fit the, I guess you could say, Clemson make of things.
Honestly, I was a little shocked that how do I put this without, he's not the typical Clemson target. Fantastic player, but there were a lot of, I think problems that maybe the school knew about, but it was one of those situations to where you just feel like you can correct things because I mean, Marquise Henderson is a phenomenal player. He's a phenomenal young man. But there were just issues that needed to be dealt with, and it's really unfortunate that he won't be able to find his footing here at Clemson.
Yeah, just a tough situation and things happen, but we do wish him the best. But yeah, that's pretty much what I have with that. You got anything else to add?
I do not.
All right. Well, moving along now with some recruiting stuff. So the big thing from this past week, Drake Quinn, he committed to Clemson edge rusher. It was between us and Texas, and he picked us. So yeah, what are your thoughts on it, Dawson? Then I'll give you mine.
I can tell you one thing is he made everybody sweat it out, especially those last couple of days before he made his decision. One of my sources told me that he was kind of just, it felt like he was playing the field. He wasn't tipping his hand to anybody. Texas was all in though. Texas probably thought they landed him. And you can tell by the crystal ball as you go in 24/7, and Texas insiders were very high on Drake Quinn going to Texas, but especially I believe the day, maybe the day before, that he committed, the word kind of started getting around in Clemson that it was going to be a Clemson commit, and it certainly was. I mean, Dre is a phenomenal player. He does come he was going to a private school, but now he has transferred to Buford, where Tyler Atkinson hit plays, and a couple other guys there. But I think he's going to get a chance to bump his numbers up this upcoming year, because right now he is I believe he's a low four star on three currently, and he might be a three star on other rankings, but playing at Buford will be you'll get to elevate your game. But I mean, honestly, if your two final choices are Texas and Clemson, I don't really care what these recruiting sites are ranking you, you're a pretty dang good player.
Buford High School, they're really known for their football players, but I kind of just want to correct you real quick. Tyler Atkinson, he goes to Grayson High School in Georgia. You said
Okay, yeah.
Buford, right?
Okay,
They're
I did, yeah.
kind of similar. They're all pretty good at football in Georgia.
I get those three guys mixed up because of the photo shoot that they took together. So automatically, there's one guy he goes to school with there, though, is it not? I'm trying to think.
I think you're right.
I don't know. Yeah, but you're right. Atkinson does go to Grayson. Yeah, because yeah, I wouldn't want it. That glad you corrected me on that. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, no, but all those high schools in Georgia, especially Grayson and then Buford,
Oh
like
yeah.
we're talking about, they're all pretty good. But another person we do kind of want to point out, or I do want to get my thoughts on Drake Quinn real quick. So I was kind of iffy on what was going to happen. Like you were saying, Texas was coming in there, with all their money that they have, and I actually thought Texas would get him, but luckily we do end up getting him. Chris Rumpf, he's a really good recruiter, so we're glad that Drake Quinn's a Tiger now. But another person from Buford High School I do want to point out that you kind of mentioned to me, Dawson, was Bryce Perry, right? So he's a big name
There
on
we
the
go. That's who
board.
I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
That's exactly who I'm thinking about.
There
Is
we go.
you're right.
But yeah, we got Bryce Perry right from Buford High School as well. He's an edge rusher too, so I just kind of want to hear your thoughts about Bryce Perry right too, Dawson.
Yeah. I mean, his recruiting has been very, very highly documented. He's depending on what you use, he is a four star or he's a five star player. But I think if you can land him along with Drake Quinn and with what you've already got in J.R. Hardwick, you're gonna have a pretty solid edge class. Everyone was kind of worried about it at first, but I would feel pretty confident in that if you grab those three guys, and especially Bryce Perry Wright. And he is committing on, I believe it's July 4th, correct?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that's
Yeah, I
correct.
think it is. But I would say right now Clemson is in the lead for that. A lot of times, once guys get down to these last couple of weeks, and you look at how many visits they've taken, and I'm pretty sure he's been to Clemson the most out of everybody. So I'm pretty confident in him going to Clemson. I mean, I'm not ready to obviously, I'm not gonna like call it and go ahead and throw out a crystal ball there, but I would say as of right now, Clemson's in the lead. But I have yet to talk to him about how his visit went personally. But I mean, we'll see. What do you think about him?
Man, he looks, from what I've seen right here, I mean, he looks pretty good. We're looking at on three, so you got him at 6'1.5". We'll call it 6'2", 250. I mean, coming off the edge. 24/7 says he's a five star. On three says he's a four star. So kind of do that with what you want. But yeah, I'm excited. Like I was saying earlier, those guys that come from Buford High School and just really anywhere in Georgia who's really good at football, I know they always turn out pretty good whenever they end up in Clemson.
Yeah, especially a player like that, man. I mean, I haven't watched a ton of his film, but from what I've seen, he just jumps off the, he just jumps out at you on film. Especially he's gonna have Chris Rumpf coaching him, and I do want to take a moment to say this, that it feels like everyone's kind of coming down on Chris Rumpf right now about recruiting and how slow it has been. And I do want to remind people that defensive end is a very hard position to recruit in today's world. It is very much a quarterback position of the defense when it comes to money right now. It's big spending, it's bidding wars, and honestly, everyone should know by now, Clemson's not going to get into a bidding war in recruiting. Chris Rumpf really can't do much about that if they're not giving the resources to him like a school like Miami would or anywhere else. So a lot of that is Clemson in the future might have to look at, project guys like a Darren Mayo, like a J.R. Hardwick, guys like that that we know they probably are not day one ready, but we believe that we can coach them up into being elite defensive ends, or maybe even go, like we did this past year. Dabo recognized the need, hit the portal. That might be another spot that we need in a couple of years right there, defensive end in the portal. Especially with the prices of defensive ends nowadays.
Yeah, it feels like each year, and each year it feels like they get better at the defensive end position. But each year, it's like you have these guys who are insane athletes at the defensive end position. And like you were saying, sometimes we can't afford, so to speak, the ones who are a top dollar, but we go and grab a guy who could be a little bit of a development piece. And Chris Trump, that's really, really good at is developing defensive ends, and they end up turning out to be pretty good. So I do agree with you that with you on that, Dawson. So we'll see how it goes. Another person I do want to point out as well, another guy from Georgia is Blake Stewart. I've seen some talk today on Twitter that he's been crystal balled to Clemson. So he's a safety, looking at all three, 6'1", 170, 4-star. So yeah, what are your thoughts on Blake Stewart, Dawson?
Yeah, I mean, I followed him a little bit when he was in town for his visit, and he's taken the visits to Michigan and a couple other schools like that. But I like him honestly as a player. I really do. He's not super highly ranked. He is another one of those under the radar guys. But I mean, I thought he had pretty good measurables. And again, I mean, you get under a system where you've got a. You're either working with Mike Reed or you're working with
Nicky Khan.
Mickey Khan. I mean, I feel really good about that. And he's gonna have all these experiences and all these or all this experience coaching around him to where he'll be able to grow. So hopefully that crystal ball sticks. We land him. We're gonna probably need to stack some of those defensive backs now. I mean, especially because we missed on one today. Going to Nebraska, but honestly, all I can say about that is if your final three are Ohio State, Clemson, and Nebraska, and you don't pick Clemson or Ohio State, then I mean, I don't know what to tell you there. I mean, that's I guess Matt Rule did some good convincing there, but.
Yeah, it kind of speaks for itself. But from what I've seen, I'm pretty sure Blake Stewart, he's going to announce his commitment July the 13th. I'm pretty sure that's what I've seen. So that's in a couple weeks. That'll be on a Sunday. So we'll keep a lookout for that. But yeah, I mean, this recruiting class, man, it just keeps getting more exciting and exciting. And I mean, I'm ready for them to get to campus. I know you are too.
Yeah, I believe also one more guy I was looking at is Keyshawn Stancil. He also was a crystal ball to Clemson. He's a 4-star 24/7 player and a 4-star composite player as well. And he's right out of North Carolina. He's from Clayton. It's kind of coming down between what looks like Clemson and NC State. So hopefully we can pull him off of there. We'd love to grab, and if we can get him. As well there, I think a lot of people would calm down when it comes to the defensive line.
Yeah, Dion, you talk about him. He's 6'3", 260, and we talk on Chris Trump, but also we talk on Nick Eason as well, that duo coaching staff on the defensive line. And we know Coach Eason, he's always a good recruiter as well. So, yeah, we'll see with that. I do see what you're talking about. It's kind of between us and NC State, and I do see, like, Penn State and Miami, but, yeah, we'll see with that one as well. All right, so another thing I do want to point out, and there's some big news from this week as well in the recruiting world. Tate Reynolds, quarterback commit to the Tigers. He was competing in the Elite 11 this past week, and he was named how'd you say it, most college ready quarterback from what they said.
Yeah, I think it. I think the term is more about his body. I mean, because he's massive. I mean, he is a huge quarterback. But yeah, it was, I guess, most college ready body. So from a physical standpoint, I guess that's a pretty big compliment. But I just want to, sorry if I'm interrupting here, but I do want to just say something about checking these, the rankings of each Elite 11 day. It's very apparent to me that. Me and you knew, of course, and a lot of people that keep up with it knew, but these sites are extremely biased. I mean, you would have a different leader on almost every single site. On three would have a different guy. 24/7 would have a different guy. And then, of course, the official Elite 11, it felt like they were all jumbled on their names, that nobody could get anything going there, which, I mean, that proves to me no nothing that I didn't already know, but that these recruiting sites do prop up guys who support them and who go to their camps. So, when people are scrolling through Facebook or scrolling through recruiting rankings and they see Clemson signs a 3-star or even a high 4-star, even 5-star at that matter, sometimes those numbers are propped up or pushed to the bottom if these guys are not going to these massive camps for On Three and 24/7.
Yeah, so Tate Reynolds, like you were saying, he's a 4-star, but I do think he can get up to a 5-star. There's no doubt about that. I'm pretty sure he will. But he's a two-way player, football and baseball. And is he going to be playing baseball at Clemson too?
Supposed to be at least for the first year. So yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, so Tate Reynolds, he's out of Arizona, freakish athlete. Just from the stuff I've seen this past week of him at the Elite 11, man, I'm excited for him to get to campus too.
Yeah, I mean, at first I was really skeptical on the pickup originally. Someone actually quote tweeted me on that, so I guess hindsight came back to bite me there. But originally, before I, checked out his film and really did a lot of deep dive on him, he was a 3-star at the time, and I'm just like, oof. I mean, that didn't, it was like, man, this is weird. And then I sat back and watched his film, and I mean, he blew me away. And I'm asking myself, how is he ranked this low? And I find out that he just doesn't play a lot of football. He hadn't played a lot of football up to this point. He hadn't gone to the camps. So now, I mean, I think that the biggest thing is going to be his holding on to him, after he has a monster senior season, which I'm fully expecting he will be. I'm sure it'll be really tough to try to hold off guys from getting him.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm excited for Tate Reynolds. That's another name. I mean, just anybody, everybody in the 26 class. I mean, it's going to be an exciting couple years whenever they come in. All
I
right.
agree.
Well, anything else you want to talk on recruiting wise anywhere?
I do not know.
All right, bunch of good stuff there. So now we got a little bit of Clemson basketball news. It was announced that Clemson basketball hosts a home and home series with Georgetown, not the Georgetown Bulldogs where I'm from. The Georgetown Hoyas. So, yeah, Coach Brad now will be facing Georgetown, who's been kind of a good college basketball program in history. So, it'll be fun seeing Clemson basketball play in Georgetown.
Yeah, that'll be the Andrew Tufo Bowl right there. Maybe we'll have to see what he thinks about it. Maybe he'll do what Joe Girard did when we played Syracuse and just, have to be really neutral there. I mean, Joe Girard loved Clemson, but he always owed it to Syracuse too. And I'm pretty sure Andrew probably is gonna feel the same way if he even watches some basketball. But that'll be something we'll have to ask him.
I know Clemson goes to Georgetown first. I'm not sure if they're playing it at Georgetown's home basketball arena or not. I think it's somewhere up there in New York. And then the following year is whenever Georgetown will come to Little John. So that'll be exciting to see them come to Little John to play. All right, so that little tidbit. So now we got some more softball news from the portal this past week. So one of the ones we got was Sierra Maness. She's from USC Upstate, and she actually pitched against Clemson in the Clemson Regional. She's from Burns High School up there in the Upstate, so she didn't have to travel far. So she comes to Clemson, being another one of the pitchers that John Rittman adds from the portal, along with Boston College transfer Abby Dunning. So Coach Rittman, he's stacking up the pitchers for next year. That's something I talked on in our last episode, that I think Coach Rittman needed to grab another pitcher, and he does. And Sierra Maness, great player. I did have the chance to talk with her and got an article out of that. So if you're interested in that, you can check it out at TigerViewMediaCU.com. And then also we got a catcher, Corey Hicks from Oklahoma, and we all know how Oklahoma is in the softball world, powerhouse. And to be able to get her, she was a freshman this past year. So obviously with Abby Vieira leaving, we kind of needed some depth at catcher. So Corey Hicks comes in, and she'll be able to do that. If she'll get the starting job, I don't know yet. We'll see. You got some other players who can catch as well, but another great addition to this Clemson softball team.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people questioned early. They were wondering where the moves were happening, what was going on as far as transfer portal. And you kind of told people to hold on and let's wait and see. And now we are, Rittman's stacking the roster, getting really good players. And I mean, to be honest, like we said a couple of weeks ago, I think if this team can combine now the experience that some of those young players have from this past year, and you mix that in with these transfers and fresh faces, that you could have a team that, especially, not even could, but will make a run at the World Series. That would be, that's really not that far off right now if you think about how our season ended this past year. So getting to that final stage, I think, is the last thing that John Rittman and his staff are looking to do, is getting there and performing well.
Yep, no doubt. So now that's four transfers from the portal that Coach Rittman's added. I'm not too sure if he'll add any more. We'll see, because we got another great, phenomenal freshman class coming in. But he just adds those four players who will definitely help for next year, depth wise, pitching, catching, infield. So yeah, I'm excited for next softball season. It's shaping out to be another great one. But now, kind of shifting over to a little bit. I know you don't know too much about gymnastics, Dawson, but I just kind of want to hit on these real quick.
Wouldn't say that.
Yesterday, last night, I seen some news going around. So we got Sophie Stewart. She's a class of 2025. She's out of Utah. She comes from Olympus Gymnastics, and that's from the same team that they just got a new head or assistant coach from it. Let me pull up her name. I think her name's Jeannie McDonough. Hold on, let me look it up. I don't want to be wrong about this. But yeah, anyway, she was the head coach at the club gymnastics place that she was performing at. So whenever she got added as a coach, she kind of got Sophie to come over to Clemson Gymnastics. She was originally signed to come to Cal, but now she Jessie McDonough, not Jeannie McDonough, Jessie McDonough. So Sophie comes over from Cal following her club gymnastics coach. And then we got Ella Cesario, who's a fifth year transfer from Cal. Amazing, amazing gymnast. She was ACC Gymnast of the Week 1 week this past year, whenever she won on the all around, and I think it was vault and bars as well. So another great addition. I know we'll probably have her for 1 year, but yeah, just Liz and Justin, they keep adding some more people from Cal. And I mean, if anybody who knows a lick of gymnastics knows that Cal is a pretty good team, and just having them come over to Clemson in their third year gymnastics is going to be a great season to come.
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest thing, is when Clemson got rid of their old coach there for gymnastics and they brought these people in. I mean, that was what everyone wanted to know, was, I like to think of it as everyone on Twitter, or normally when other sports fans, like if you're a big basketball fan and you hear a big trade news or coach hiring news in the NFL or the MLB, you might say, "Can you explain this to me in basketball terms?" And that's kind of what it felt like for everyone here, is, "Can you explain this to us in football terms or baseball terms?" And the best way to describe it was a grand slam hire. They went out and got the best. I mean, definitely. And you're seeing the dividends right now, and you'll see this year. I mean, I promise you that you will see that. I mean, Clemson had a pretty solid gymnastics program already, but now you go out and grab the best coaches in the country, and now you can start to stack the team with their people and people that they want to do, and they can take this program to where they envision it. You're going to see Clemson be able to develop that powerhouse in an already a great location. Little John is a phenomenal place to have Acro there. So I'm sure they're real excited. I'm sure, like you said, some of the commits, Sophie Stewart's excited. I guess all that's left to do now is, get the chalk on the hands.
Yep. So another thing I do want to point out, they did finalize their coaching staff for this coming up year, and they also hired Luke Lawson. He was from Ohio State. He was an associate head coach there. So Liz and Justin, they have finalized their coaching staff for the year, and I mean, great names all around the board. Like I said, with Jessie McDonough and then Luke Lawson, and then just them two alone coming from Cal. I mean, a great, amazing coaching staff there. So yeah, it's shaping up to be a pretty exciting gymnastics season, and like you were saying, Little John, man, that's the place to be if you want to watch some gymnastics.
Yeah.
All right,
I know we're
so
gonna I'm gonna try to make it out there once or twice.
yeah, man, they're fun. You got to come to one. All right, so that's pretty much it for this episode. You got anything else you want to add, Dawson? Anywhere?
I don't, but I promise next time that I'm on camera and these little raccoon eyes, hopefully they're gonna be gone. But I guess that's the cost of doing stuff through a busy schedule.
Dawson's enjoying him some vacation, and man, it's been hot out. I mean, I've been kind of dying at work, but that's kind of off topic. But yeah, that's pretty much it for this episode. Stay tuned for next week. We're hoping to get back on our regular schedule of doing it on Sundays, and obviously if there's ever some changes, we'll always update you on Twitter. So yeah, other than that, I think that's pretty much it. So it's been Gavin and Dawson on the 14th episode of the Tiger View Podcast, and as always, go Tigers.